So it's something of a cliche to say that the Christmas season seems to begin earlier every year, but it is true. I don't know what you've spotted this year. I noticed some shops with Christmas displays in the second half of October. In any case, the Christmas season, or to be more precise, as I said earlier, Advent, because Christmas itself doesn't actually start until December the 25th. But Advent starts today. And in fact, whatever you call it, you can't help but be aware of all that is going on, all the frenzied preparations for Christmas happening all over the place. The lights have been installed along the high street, ready for the turn on this Thursday. Sainsbury's and Tesco's are stocked up with mince pies and party nibbles. The usual pop-up Christmas tree stalls are appearing in lay-bys. Anyone got the Christmas trees up yet? No? No, that's a relief. Something I haven't really seen much of here in Peebles is a sort of outrageous house light displays that we used to see, certainly when we were living south of the border. Maybe there are in bits of Peebles, and I just haven't seen them. Have you got some up there? Oh, is that right? Ah, okay. Right, I'll have to come along and see them. I mean, when I've been out, I've seen a reasonable range of inflatable snowmen and Santa climbing out the window and fiber optic reindeer and lights of every conceivable colour flashing away to random beats. But here in the houses I've seen in Peebles, those tend to be spread out across several houses, whereas in at least one town we've lived in the past, it wouldn't be uncommon to find all of those things and more on one house, pulsating away like Piccadilly Circus. And then there are the parties. There are office parties, and there are school parties and home group parties many of you will be having, and open house, mulled wine and mince pie evenings, and a mass of shopping to do and presents to get ready. Guys, I hope you've been paying attention to the hints you've been getting over the last few months. And then Christmas Day itself arrives, and you wake up and you open some gifts. You come out to church for a short service, and then you go home and open some more gifts. And then you maybe set off to be with the rest of your family for Christmas meal, stuff your face with turkey and Christmas pudding, open some more gifts, a quick snooze after the Queen, then drive home, or maybe during the Queen, I don't know. Drive home, put some of your gifts away in cupboards so that you can give them to someone else next year. Hide some of the children's gifts because they've had far too many and you're going to give them again at their birthdays. Great idea. Visit more friends, more relatives, and then there's just enough time to prepare the house for New Year when you stay up far too late, including the kids, and pretend you're enjoying it. And so finally, it's all over, and we pack the Christmas tree decorations away, and praise God that it's over, just as we praised them a month before that Christmas was here. Or is that just me? Is that just me? Is that right? Anyone else identify with that crazy cycle of activity through this month? Now, don't get me wrong. It's great fun. It's a wonderful time of year. And as believers, it's our time of year. TV, radio, shops, and Justin Bieber are all singing songs about our Saviour. But I don't think I can remember a year when I haven't finished the season feeling like I need a holiday. Even when Christmas was a holiday for me, which of course it isn't anymore. There is so much to do, so many cards to write, so many presents to buy, so many people to see and celebrate with. It's easy for us to get totally, if you'll pardon the pun, wrapped up in the expectations of others and the busyness of the season, and for us to lose sight of what all the parties and celebrations are actually about. So the question we have to ask is this: is Christmas just going to pass me by, or am I going to experience it on purpose? What is the purpose behind all the parties and presents and cards and food, and how can I really stay focused on that? Now, there are probably lots of different possible answers to that, but the one we're going to look at for the next few weeks is about our willingness to pause, our willingness to initiate a deliberate break in that crazy cycle. Because it's in the pauses that we actually find life and power and breakthrough. It's in the pauses that the information we've absorbed up here becomes personal in here. And that's why, to take just one example, when your kids misbehave, you put them on the naughty step or do a timeout of some sort, because it gives them a chance to pause and think about what they've done wrong. And you find this idea of pausing in the Psalms as well. Sometimes you'll see the word Selah every so often through a psalm, which basically means to take a pause. It's the writer's intention for us to deliberately pause at that point, to absorb and act on what's been said. So, for example, in Psalm 85, verse 2, it says, "You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins." And then it says, "Selah." In other words, don't go on to verse 3 yet. Did you hear what was just said? If you would process that verse in your head and apply it to your life, it would change everything. God forgave you. He covered your sins. No longer do you have to carry around the weight of your guilt. It's so easy to skip over, but if you'll just pause right there. So, for the next few weeks, this series is about looking at a number of things we can do to experience the power and the presence of God this Christmas, each of which will only happen through our willingness to pause, to initiate a break in the cycle of busyness. And today we are looking at pausing to prepare. So before we go any further, let's pray together to prepare our hearts. Father, thank you that we do have this fabulous season with so much to celebrate. But Lord, as we start it, we really do want to hear what you've got to say to us all through it, and especially at its culmination of Christmas itself. So, Father, we help us to learn today. Speak to us about how we can make the best use of this time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder what the last thing that you had to prepare for was. Some of you might be thinking, I wish I had time to prepare for anything. But even for something informal like a night out with your husband or your wife, you've got to do some preparation for that if it's going to be good and not just end in disaster. And what about some of the bigger things in life, like getting married? You'll know that Declan and Lindsay are getting married next year, and my Lindsay and I have been doing some marriage preparation sessions with them, which we've really been enjoying. Don't know if they have, but we've really been enjoying it. Now, thankfully, that's marriage preparation and not wedding preparation. The wedding preparation is for Declan and Lindsay and Jacqueline and Lindsay's parents to worry about. But even just for that one day of the wedding, there is a massive amount of preparation that they've got to do. You know, the date, the venue, the invitations, applying to the registrar, arranging the service, selecting food and a band and a cake and bridesmaids and ushers and picking what to wear. There is a huge amount to prepare for. And so you have to pause everything else that's going on in your life to do some preparation. Doesn't mean you stop doing anything. It means you pause and spend time on that other thing. How about going on holiday? Choose where to go, find the best deal, make sure you've got all the passports and travel insurance and foreign currency, maybe vaccinations. Are you going to have to go on a diet to be allowed on the beach? Preparing to go on holiday, no comment, preparing to go on holiday is exhausting. So you have to press pause on some other things in order to prepare and prioritize. Whatever the case is, preparing for things requires us to pause, to make room in our busy lives. And in the same way, if we want to experience a different outcome this Christmas to the one that we maybe normally get, that's going to mean taking some time to pause and prepare. So what does that mean? Does it mean preparing for the parties you're going to go to? Probably. Does it mean preparing for Christmas morning? Definitely. If you don't prepare for that, you'll hear about it for the rest of the year. But the most important thing to prepare for, the most important pause you can have, is to pray, prepare your heart for the Lord, so that you would truly appreciate the purpose behind all the chaos. Because the reality is that distraction and busyness has always been a part of the enemy's plan. It causes us to delay or miss out on all that God has for us. So much so, in fact, that when God decided that he was going to send his son to become one of us, to live among us, he knew that he was going to have to send someone before him, someone ahead of him who would prepare us, who would serve as a forerunner, because otherwise we would miss it. In fact, even then, there was a good chance that we would be distracted. So the man he chose to do that was a man called John. Now, he's mentioned lots of times in the Bible, but the reference we're going to look at just now is from Luke 1:17. That's the last verse in the reading that we had a bit earlier, where the angel Gabriel is speaking to John's father, Zechariah, and he says this: "He, John, will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So John was tasked with making a people ready who were prepared for the Lord. And those two things, readiness and preparation, absolutely go hand in hand. We get ready so that we will be prepared. We're prepared because we've gone through the discipline of getting ready. And what was the point of that? Because God wanted people to be primed for his presence. He wanted them to be looking for the right things. He was going to do something amazing with those people, changing hearts, changing lives. And he didn't want people to miss it. They were faced with an incredible opportunity, much like ours this Christmas, to not just be reminded of the story, but to become part of the story, to be changed, to be rescued by encountering the Savior. Now, what if our lives are actually much more like theirs than we think? What if it were possible for us to attend the services, sing the songs, decorate the tree, take part in every event of the season, and yet in hearing and telling the story, it landed on our hearts in a way that was almost stale, that wouldn't move us? If we fail to prepare our hearts, we can be ready for all the parties and celebrations and everything else this Christmas. But if we fail to pause and prepare our hearts, there is a good chance that we're going to miss out on all that God has for us. So John was sent to get people ready. He will go on before the Lord. Some translations say he will go as a forerunner. You'll be aware that when motor cars were first invented, they were seen as dangerous contraptions that threatened ordinary pedestrians. And so a law was passed that said if you wanted to drive a motor car, you had to have someone walking ahead of you waving a big red flag. And that's what a forerunner is. And John was sent to metaphorically wave a big flag, not to warn people, but to say, eyes up, everyone. You need to pay attention to what God is about to do. You need to get ready for this. So if John was doing that to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, how was he going to actually do that? Well, the verse says three things about that. He was going to do it in the spirit and power of Elijah. He was going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. and he was going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Now, what does all that mean? Firstly, he was going to work in the spirit and power of Elijah. Elijah, of course, was one of Israel's most famous prophets. If you remember our series on him a while ago, he performed some extraordinary miracles, delivered a powerful message. And so John's message, the angel is saying, is going to be just as powerful as that. But the main point of that phrase isn't actually about Elijah at all. It's about where Elijah got his power from. In other words, Gabriel is saying, John isn't just going to do this on his own. He's going to rely on the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. If we want to get ready for what God is going to do this Christmas, I've said we need to prepare, but actually it would be more accurate to say we need to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts. Anyone here had open heart surgery? No? Not yet. That sounded... What am I saying, not yet? I mean, hey, if you need it, it's great. But if you had, I'm sure you'd be impressed with the work that the surgeon did on you. But the best heart surgeon in the world cannot operate on his or her own heart. We've got to allow God to do that. Second, John was going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children. Now, put simply, this is about reconciliation. This is about restoring relationships within families. There's lots of other reconciliation work that needs to happen. God can work powerfully to bring reconciliation between friends or neighbors or people at work or communities. But this verse seems specifically to be about the importance of reconciliation within families. And I wonder what that means to you. It may be that as you're listening to this, God is nudging you about relationships that need healing in your family. If that's the case, he is calling you to be an agent for that healing. He wants to work with you this Christmas to bring reconciliation. And third, John was going to turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. Now, if that last point was about restoring relationships between people, this one is about restoring relationships between us and God. Bringing righteousness before God back to those who are disobedient. Transforming lives into lives that are holy, pleasing to God. We can't do that transformation ourselves, but we have to be willing for the change to happen. John called God's people to take a step of faith. He'd come as a divine interruption to their routine, to their religion, to their practices that they'd been so faithful to. And he invited them to take a step into a relationship where they could experience the love of a father, where they would experience the power and presence of God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And that's the beauty of the gospel. It draws people into a relationship, into relationships that we were designed for, relationships with one another and with God. That was the purpose of John's coming, to prepare people for that. So if we are going to be a people who are prepared for the Lord, if we're going to have hearts that are ready for his presence with us, if we're going to get everything that he would have us get out of this Christmas season, then we're going to have to be ready to pause on the crazy cycle and really prepare for him. To be willing to engage in the relationships that matter most. To take a step of faith towards him. Maybe for some of us for the first time. Maybe for some of us, it's taking a step of faith, believing that he can do the impossible. The struggles, the battles that you've faced all your life, it's going to mean taking a step of faith and giving those things over to him. One of the things I love most about Christmas, especially for us as followers of Jesus, is that we don't celebrate a date in the calendar just because of some past historical event. We celebrate a date in the calendar, yes, because it reminds us of something that happened, but much more because it reminds us of a reality that we can live in today. Because he did come, and because he came, he can meet me in my circumstances. He can meet me in my broken relationships. He can meet me in my lack of faith and my disobedience. And he can bring his faithfulness and his righteousness and his healing and his hope. So there are lots of exciting things that are going to happen this Christmas. Enjoy the parties, enjoy the presents, enjoy the hideous lights, but don't allow the busyness to capture you and distract you from what he has this year. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this season, for the divine interruption that was your Son coming into the world, so that we might have abundant life through him. I want to pray for all those who've heard this message today who are aware of relationships that have been damaged, of walls that have been built up, and who are aware of your prompting to bring forgiveness and healing and reconciliation. I pray that by the power of your Spirit, this Christmas might be the time for those walls to be brought down. And that as we take steps of faith towards engaging those people, your healing and restoration and love would come in power. And for all of us, Lord, as we take time to step back from the busyness of Christmas, I pray that you would work in our hearts to bring again your life and your joy and your love that only you can bring. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.